will be a Glazer Zoom call. It's going to be a tasty conversation. You list the top 10 coaches on the hot seat, he's in the top three. And that's just the way it is. And he knows it. Stevie's not naive. He's a smart man. He knows the situation. Let's not get maudlin here. I think the Bucks can win that first game. I certainly think they can win the second game.
Yeah. Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Sage, I am Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The incomparable Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is with us. And Ira, I want to tell everybody first, if you didn't listen to the last podcast where the Sage hit the Mike Evans situation from every angle, including ones you haven't talked about yet, it is all there on the last podcast. You can find it at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com, Google Podcasts, and it's a good listen. Dial that up. Today, of course, we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. All of Ira's work is presented by Bill Curry Ford, where they will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer, or Sean Sullivan, the general manager, will hand you $500 cash. All the details are at their website, BillCurryFord.com. They're right there on Dale Mabry Highway, a mile north of the stadium. They are family-owned, the Curry family, 63, 64 years, right there in Tampa, serving the community. Unbelievable community partners they are. That family touch is evident every single day. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he will help you personally, give you the Ira Kaufman discount, and give you the benefit of his just vast knowledge of the industry. Even if you need body work or you're looking to finance a vehicle in a few months, or whatever it is, he will help you. And maybe that's just helping you right now because you need a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you will be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, watching the Bucks on Sunday with Bucks fans outside. I know you like the covered patio. They got the big fans out there, the big TVs. It's comfortable. You've got the great menu items. Everybody can easily walk around, or you can sit inside, of course, at the beautiful tap room, Big Storm Brewery. And of course, if you can't get there, Big Storm Beer is available in the stores at their tap rooms in Odessa, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, Ybor City, upstairs in Centro Ybor, and in Clearwater, the flagship location there. Are you looking forward to that, Ira?
I can't wait. Now, Steve, should you get there before I arrive, should that happen, you are to order me a bay beer, Steve, and I want it at my table upon arrival. Can you do that?
Absolutely, Ira. Now, that's bay beer. That's the name, B-A-Y, bay beer. It's good. It's light. It's not in most of the stores, but it's a great one at the tap rooms. I will take care of that, Ira.
Thank you, my friend. And feel free to pay for it, too. Stay, feel free.
Absolutely. And I did find out if you just wanted plain tater tots, you don't have to get the fancy tater tots. So that's just something to keep in mind, Ira. It's something to keep in mind.
Somebody at my table will be getting them, and that means that I'll be getting some, too.
So that means Bucks fans can hang out with the Sage. It's a lot of fun and just good times. We can go 1-0 all together. It'll be a fun time. And as Lee said, one of the great Lee nicknames of all time, Ira is the human seagull. He will eat off your plate, whether you allow him to or not. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Don't mess around. If you see mold, you know, you had a leak that you didn't know about and you've got mold, they are licensed mold remediation specialists, floridaselite-restoration.com, but they'll help you with any disaster in your home or your business, flood, fire, wind damage, storm damage, whatever it is. Call them 24/7 for a free evaluation at your property. They've got all the latest technology to check it out, and they'll let you know what's going on, and they can work with your insurance company so you do not get ripped off. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you call them initially. And then if you eventually really need their service and reach an agreement and move forward with it, then they'll give you $500 back. Maybe that's just cash on your what you're paying, or maybe that's money for your deductible. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Check them out now so you know exactly who to call later. They're trustworthy. A lot of our listeners have used them in the aftermath of the last hurricane. You know, we appreciate everybody supporting those who support us, Sage. And one guy that everybody wants to support, but we don't really know what's going to happen, is Todd Bowles. And Ira, I got to start here. We are here on the cusp of the season. I think we need to put a line in the sand here on Todd Bowles. And I'm just going to say it right here from my perspective, Ira. I'm not even going to elaborate. I think if he can't win 8 games with this team, that's not a high bar. But if he can't win 8 games with this team, then I think there's no reason to keep him. He will have proved absolutely nothing. And it's time to move on.
I might go a little further, Steve. I was looking at 9, you know, to be able to say you had a winning record and stop that dastardly streak, Lee, of 4 straight losing seasons dating back to when he was working out of the Meadowlands. Lee, back-to-back 8-9s, that doesn't impress me, especially when you had Brady for one of those years. I know the quarterback situation is dicey. Most observers outside of Tampa Bay region, they don't think Mayfield can get the job done, and they don't have any faith in Trask, who's a total unknown at this point. I think 9 brings Bowles back. I do. Another 8-9 season, I think there would be a change.
Well, if it's 8-9 season, that means a second losing season for him and a 5th overall. And we know the Glazers' history. They have not retained a coach who had back-to-back losing seasons. They've only retained one coach that's done that, and that same guy won them a Super Bowl. And yep. Bowles won a Super Bowl. So I'll just go with history here. But I hope it doesn't come to that, because I like Todd Bowles a lot. Last year was very, very, very underwhelming. Very underwhelming. And I hope Dave Canales can have a decent... I hope. You know, I hate the word hope, but I'm hoping he can turn things around. And I hate to see bad things happen to good people, and he's good people. He's really, really class act. But I'm just going to go by Glazers history.
Steve, to Lee's point about the Super Bowl, and I think it's a critical one, if Bruce Arians hadn't stepped down, and if Arians was the coach last year and duplicated Bowles' 8-9 record, I think Arians could go 8-9 with this team and not be in any danger. But this is not Bruce Arians. There is no Vince Lombardi trophy hanging in the Glazer shed due to Bruce Arians being the head coach. So you get my point, Steve. You win a Super Bowl, it buys you a lot of leeway. The leash gets a little looser, and Todd Bowles doesn't have it. He doesn't have it as the head coach, Steve, and that's just a fact.
An important nuance here I got to ask, Sage, because I think too much about the Bucs. You know, we all spend way too much time thinking about the Buccaneers, obsessing. It's what we do 24-7. Well, Ira, maybe you do it 12 hours a day. Lee and I are 24-7. But I think you have to throw out Week 17 because the Bucs didn't try to win last year. And I look at this year as, you know what? There's a very good chance that they won't be trying to win Week 17 this year. If they're 8-8, they'll probably be out of the playoffs in a normal year. So I sort of feel like Week 17, I can't call last year a losing season because everybody agreed, okay, let's just not really try to win Week 17. We'll pull everybody. So I don't know how I feel about that, but I do think 8-9 this year was really sort of like 8-8, and that's just not good enough. Is that misguided thinking, Ira?
Well, Steve, one thing you're leaving out that Lee mentions quite a bit, and I think very aptly, let's say they go 8-9. Well, that probably means, Lee, probably means Mayfield didn't set the world on fire. It might even mean that Trask replaces him at a certain point, maybe. But even if Mayfield is 8-8 after 16 weeks, Lee, that's not what the Glazers are looking for. It's not what Jason Light's looking for. And I think at that point, you know, you would think Mayfield's not excelling, and it's a quarterback-rich draft. Lee, we're going to be talking about it. We're talking about it all fall. The whole fall, we're talking about the 24 draft. It could be that tremendous in terms of teams that are looking for a quarterback. I know Arizona's already thinking about it, Lee, that's for sure. And, Lee, you made this point many times. I think it's fair. Should the Bucs be looking at a quarterback in the first round to be the face of their franchise and to start as a rookie in 24, Todd Bowles probably isn't the guy that's going to be sticking around. I think that's another factor in this whole situation.
That's a very valid point, Ira. I hate to bring it up, but you're right. I would not want Todd Bowles to develop a rookie quarterback. And you could argue, well, you know, there's Dave Canales, and even though the slate is pretty blank for Canales as we speak, what he did with Trask in a span of 6 weeks blows my mind. I mean, I still can't believe he went from being a borderline NFL player. When I say NFL player, I'm talking about just being on the roster. He went from a borderline NFL player to maybe a starter, maybe. And, you know, I don't think he did enough to usurp Baker Mayfield. But just that little piece of evidence what Canales did in such a short period of time, that blows my mind. Maybe the Bucs might have a gem there.
And Lee, don't forget, any role that he played in Geno Smith. You got to give Canales some credit for that, too.
Yes and no. I always read and hear people connect the two, but I frankly don't know what he did, if anything, to resurrect Geno Smith. I can't go there only because I don't know. You know, it's speculation. People are connecting dots, but an educated guess, but a guess nonetheless. What I've seen, what he did with Trask, that I think the Bucs may have something there. And if that's the case, he resurrects Baker Mayfield's career, and we're not talking about a new quarterback.
That's right.
Sage, do you think, as far as Todd Bowles goes, I sort of played, I got accused of playing gotcha with Todd Bowles last week, but it was appropriate, I thought, because he brought it up in response to your question. Now, you asked him about the Vikings, who went 11-0 last year in one-score games, an NFL record, a very rare situation, and you asked Todd Bowles if that's coaching. And Todd Bowles was pretty emphatic for him. He was like, absolutely, it's coaching. And he talked about how well their coach, Kevin O'Connell, has handled that team and how great he is at offensive adjustments, one of the best in the league. And, close games are a lot about coaching. So I'm like, all right, I'm sitting here watching YouTube. I'm like, all right, here I go. I'm going to go look up Todd Bowles' record in one-score games, because if it's a lot about coaching, it should say a lot about Todd Bowles. And Todd Bowles' teams, Ira, are 19-24 in one-score games. Now, when his team was good with the Jets in 2015, they won 10 games, he was 4-5 in one-score games. Last year was his best record in close games. The Bucs were 6-4. So is it fair to say, hey, Todd, you just said that coaching is very much a factor in close games, but you're a loser when it comes to close games.
Well, he did use the word knack, right, Steve? I think he used the word knack.
He did.
There is a knack to it. Yeah, there is a knack to it. And he credited the Vikings coach. And, if the Vikings do it again, and I don't mean 11-0, but if they're 9-3 in one score games, then you got to say that the guy's got a knack. I'm not ready to say that after one season, but as far as Bowles and one-score games, Lee, 19-24, Lee, that's probably better than his overall winning percentage. I think there's a pretty good chance it's better than his overall winning percentage. So, Steve, in that regard, I don't think that's necessarily a negative on Bowles. It'll all come down, Steve, and you know this. He's on the hot seat. He's on the griddle. You list the top 10 coaches on the hot seat, he's in the top three, and that's just the way it is. And he knows it. Stevie's not naive. He's a smart man. He knows the situation. Maybe that factored in on picking Baker Mayfield. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it did. But some of those close games last year, Steve, that ended up 6-4 in favor of the Bucs, was a case of Brady pulling games out of his ass. We also got to mention that, Steve.
I understand, but I still say, you pull a game out of your ass, it's probably because You crapped yourself earlier in the game, so I don't know. It's still a 60-minute game. These weren't incredible shootouts that Tom Brady was, just slugging it out and saving the day at the end. A lot of these were, 19-18 victories, and somehow they came back on Christmas against the horrible Cardinals. I don't know. It was a strange year, but I had to ask you about the close games, Sage. Is there a scenario that you can see where the team does something very well or a couple of things very well, but the record isn't good, and that still brings Bowles back? Like, for example, let's say the Bucs have a top six defense, but, Mayfield sucks and Trask comes in and he sucks, and the Glazers look at this and say, hey, you know what? We were pretty well coached and we did a lot of good things, but we just don't have the quarterback play to compete. Do you think that could save Bowles with a 7-win season?
No, No, Steve, you're trying to be a micromanager and do a deep dive, and I understand that, Steve. Nobody has any doubts about Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator. No, nobody does. He's one of the best. Lee, and when I say that, part of the reason is he came in 2019 to Tampa. That's 4 years. Lee, their sack totals have varied almost non-existent. It's 45, 40, 47, 46, 48. And that's with Shaq Barrett missing a half a season. It's with Joe Tryon not elevating his game to the next level. We don't know about Logan Hall. He's got a way of doing it, and he's always done it. So the fact that the Bucs might have a top six defense, that's not going to shock anybody. But if they go 7-10 with a top six defense, there's going to be an overhaul, Lee. That's just the way it is. The 7-10 is going to trump the number six defense in the mind of ownership, and that's what counts.
Yeah, I mean, this is a depressing subject, but it's a realistic subject. And as much as I like Bruce Arians, and I still do, it's not like the guy's dead. I don't know, Bowles might be my favorite coach. Might be. Arians is, right, obviously he's top shelf because he won a Super Bowl. But as far as dealing with the guy, I don't know, man. I think as far as dealing with the guy, Bowles might be my favorite coach, but I can't get around all the bad things that happened last year and, unfortunately, his head coaching history. You can't overlook that. I can't remember. I know I did a story about this, but I can't remember the research that I did. Might have been Marion Campbell. Might have been the last guy that had five losing seasons consecutive as a head coach and survived.
Sage, I can feel Lee getting a little melancholy here, so I'm going to pick him up. He doesn't want to think about this. Nobody does, but hey, we're on the cusp of the season. I got to ask you guys, what's the line in the sand? So, I say it's eight wins. Lee says he's going with history. They got to win nine, and that'll bring Todd Bowles back. Otherwise, see you later. Ira goes with nine. And I guess it goes back to the old saying, just win, baby. And Bowles probably knows that, and frankly, talking to a couple of his assistant coaches in New Jersey during those joint practice trip there, they know it too, and they wouldn't have it any other way, is how it was said to me. That's wow. They love that, you know what? That's the NFL. You get up, you got to go win. It's like that from day one, and you put everything into it, and as long as you gave it your all, sure, you stress out in December. And as one guy told me, not the guy you think, Ira, one guy told me, hey, sometimes you start looking at all the media in December because you're wondering, what are they saying? Am I going to keep my job? But that's just the NFL. And, hopefully these guys can be successful, Ira. But I got to ask you this. I said a long time ago that they, no matter what, I don't care how you get there, it doesn't matter. Todd Bowles has to find his way to 2-2 at the bye week. No matter what that looks like, you got to get there because 1-3 and a bye is going to get the Glazers, getting on their family Zoom call or whatever you call it, and getting Jason Light on the line and saying, Jason, what are we doing here if we can't improve? And he's got to avoid that to save his job somehow, some way. Is that still correct, Ira? You think that was right?
Well, it sounds like an overstatement, but I'm not sure it is. That early bye week, that puts a little sense of urgency, Lee, on the opening month. It does. I happen to think the Bucks are a very lively underdog going to Minneapolis, where you will be, Mr. DeKemper, and I'm very happy that you're going. I think they're a lively underdog. Should they win that game, they will be favored, you would think, at home against the Bears. So I don't think Steve's point's crazy. Lee, at 1-3 and a bye week, where national pundits are going to be weighing in, the pressure's going to be ramped up. There will be a Glazer Zoom call. Steve's right. It'll go to New Orleans. It'll go to Santa Barbara. It'll go to Maryland. It'll go to Tampa. It's going to be a tasty conversation. And Light will be on that call, Lee. Let's hope it doesn't come to that, because then, certain thoughts go through the minds of ownership. What are we doing here? Are we really competitive? If not, maybe we got to think about the 24 draft and put ourselves in position. Lee, you just said it a few minutes ago. Let's not get Maudlin here. I think the Bucks can win that first game. I certainly think they can win the second game. And I'll say this, Steve. Maybe I'm wrong. If the O-line is better, maybe even markedly better, I don't see why this team can't have a winning record. I'm looking at the O-line, Lee. I think the defense will be pretty good. I don't think it's going to be great, but I think it's going to be pretty good, especially if Cansey's a player, Lee. That could really help. I think the secondary's solid. We'll see about the nickel guy. He hasn't played a down in the NFL. We'll see. But I like the safeties in the corners. I like the inside linebackers. What's not to like, Lee? Shaq Barrett looks good. So, to me, if the O-line's good, that means the running game's going to be better. Lee, I think they got a chance to have a decent year if the O-line plays well.
You said something a moment ago that I can't let you, I can't let it pass. And this Zoom call, the Glazer Zoom call, of all the places you mentioned where many of the members of Team Glazer live. You said New Orleans. Does Darcy live in New Orleans?
No, Avi hangs out in New Orleans. He's probably got other places too, but he is in New Orleans part of the time. And he's very involved with Manchester United also. Steve, what are my chances of crashing into that Zoom call? Can I get in there?
We could try. We could try, Ira. We can work on that for you.
Steve, are you still feeling it for the O-line as you did about 3 or 4 weeks ago where you said, I think you're going to see marked improvement? You still feel that way, Steve?
I can't say marked because I really believed when I said that Jensen would find his way back. I thought it might take a little time. You know, not necessarily here he is day one, but I thought he would be back. So, but I'm not backing off that. I'm not worried about Wirfs. I'm not worried about Filer. And can they be good enough? My answer is, Ira, I'm not as strong, but I think the O-line will be okay. And I honestly think that they're going to end up passing the ball so much more than people expect, mainly because ultimately that's the strength of the club. I just don't think that we're going to figure out that, the running backs are the strength of the offense. And when you are desperate for wins and you're an offensive coordinator, you can want to do whatever you want, Todd Bowles included. But man, when everybody's looking you in the face saying, hey, we got Chris Godwin over the middle all day, you know, you're pretty damn tempted to do that.
You're not wrong, Steve. Now, Steve, you're not saying they're going to throw and lead the league in pass attempts for a third consecutive year. You're not saying that.
No.
But you're right. They're not going to run the ball more than they throw it. In fact, I think there was only one team last year that ran the ball more than they threw it. I'm trying to think. Was it Cleveland?
Atlanta.
I can't remember. Yeah, Atlanta. That's right, Lee. Atlanta. That's the only team. And they're going to do it again. They're not going to put too much on Desmond Ridder's plate. But the Bucks don't have Robinson. Algier looked good. And they got a good offensive line, Atlanta. Steve, it's one of the, maybe the strength of the team. We have yet to see whether this O-line is a weakness or a strength. But Steve, if it's a strength, I think the Bucks could have a pretty darn good season.
The depth everywhere is a little scary, but that's the nature of all these rookies and 6 undrafted free agents. It's a wild season. We're going to get into a lot of predictions in the next podcast. I got 2 things I want to piece together here, Ira, but I want to remind everyone first, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop. And remember the Ira Kaufman discount, Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, Peter King, and we're keeping a Todd Bowles theme here. Peter King and Stephen A. Smith were both ranting last week, and they both think the Bucks are going to be hot garbage. Peter King he's just pounding the fist. He's so mad. He admitted that Bucks fans got under his skin when they complained that he picked them 31st in the league, and he took to his column in May to sort of back that up after a fan wrote to him, and then he was on NBC the other day getting annoyed, saying, hey, you know, all you fans think every team is going to be good, and you know he's just mad at Bucks fans, but he thinks the Bucks are going to be awful. And Stephen A. Smith with your boy Chris Russo made a case that the Bucks are going to be the biggest drop off in the league this year. You know, the team with the biggest fallback, and neither one of those guys, Iro, will say that Todd Bowles is a reason. And I don't understand why nobody will just come out and say, you know, we don't think he's a very good coach. Because if they thought he was a good coach, nobody would say that the team would suck. They would say something like, you know what, Bulls can probably squeeze 7 wins out of that group, but they don't have enough talent. But nobody will put the finger, point a finger at Bulls. I don't really understand why.
2 points, Steve. One, you're right. They don't have any confidence in Bulls, but they don't want to say it. And two, Lee, correct me if I'm wrong. I know this might come off as a little simplistic, but from Vegas odd makers down to Screamin' A and Russo and Peter King, I don't think this is rocket science, Lee. I just don't. I think 90%, and that's a big number, 90% of the skepticism, rampant skepticism, dire forecasts, are wrapped up in the quarterback position. They don't believe in Baker Mayfield in any way, in any manner. They don't think Mayfield's going to be any good. And that's just it. And they don't know anything about Trask. And they don't believe any hype about Trask because all he's done it in the preseason. And you know what? Part of that is true. He hasn't done it in the regular season. So how can you put any faith in Trask? Lee, it comes down to the quarterback position, and they don't, Steve said hot garbage. They think Mayfield's hot garbage.
Well, there's not too many teams that don't have a quarterback that are good. So you start with that premise right away. And the other is kind of what I was saying earlier. Steve isn't wrong. They, in my eyes, they dance around Bulls. They'll mention Bulls, and you can see with pained faces and shrugged shoulders, they like the guy, so they don't want to rip him. It comes, it's as simple as that. And it's sort of like me. I mean, I hate ripping on the guy because I like him so much. But I got to call it as I see it. And he's on the hot seat. There's no doubt about it, you know. And I think it's the same thing with the CD. Like I said, I saw the Stephen A. Smith video. I started to write it up. And I'm like, oh, I'll wait. I'll save that for Tuesday. And I wake up from my nap yesterday and Steve published it.
And
with the Stephen A. Smith thing on the video, you could tell it really pained him. He mentioned Todd Bowles and shrugged his shoulders and grimaced, and he kind of pounded. He's like, it's Todd, and then he went off on Mayfield. So I think it's the same reason that I don't like talking about Todd Bowles in vain, because he's such a good guy. But facts are facts. He's not done a good job so far. Defensively, yes, but not as the head coach. Oh, by the way, Steve, I've been wanting to say this for about 10 minutes. You ever talk about you got to give Bulls a little bit of slack because they won 8 games? They lost 10.
I understand. It's that week.
That 10th loss was very embarrassing on national TV in primetime.
Well, Sage, then, just on a very, very tight, quick follow-up on that, do you think Bulls screwed up for himself by not trying to win that Week 17 game last year so at least everybody could walk around and say they were 9-8? Did he mess it up?
I don't think he was thinking about that. He was thinking about what gives him the best chance to beat Dallas. And I don't blame him for that. That's the way he should be thinking. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, ending that streak really is going to matter that much. Steven, who says they were going to win that game anyway? We don't know that. Probably they would have won it, but we don't know that. You know, Atlanta was going all out, and the Bucks weren't. That's true. In that second half, I still think he's got to have a winning record, Steve. The Blazers are getting a little bit impatient with this quarterback situation. If Mayfield's the real deal, like Lee says, we'll put the 24 draft to bed in terms of a quarterback. But not a lot of people outside the Tampa Bay area think that's going to be the case. They think this quarterback-rich draft, the Bucks are going to have their hands very busy.
I don't know what to make about Bulls other than we need to see it this year. And with this roster and all the, you know, the lack of depth is not his fault because of the money that was spent, and they've got all these young guys. You know, they're going to have some injuries. If he can squeak out 8 wins with this team, I would be, I'm not going to say impressed, but I would be sufficiently convinced that he knows what he's doing and might be worth investing going forward. So that's why I'm saying 8. But we're splitting hairs here. They got to play good football, Ira, and Bucks fans are much smarter than people make him out to be. I think Bucks officials make him out to be. They know what good football is and what good competitive physical football is, and we better see that in Week 1. I got a question for Lee, Ira. I'm going to let him start this now. In our next podcast, we're going to get into a lot of predictions, and Sage is going to go on the record on many, many topics so everybody can take notes and throw eggs at him.
Hold on, Steve. It's worth noting, Steve, tell me if I'm wrong, that Didn't Canales say that Mike Evans did practice on Monday? He did, right, Steve? I believe he did.
Yeah, there were reports out there. He was on the field. I saw pictures of it.
Yeah, so I think that I think that answers any question about the potential holdout for this weekend. I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope so, and that's a good reminder, Ira, because everybody, again, if you missed the last podcast, Sage took over everything Mike Evans. We dove into some things that could happen, should happen, things you should understand about the Mike Evans situation, and that podcast is there for you to catch up on. I think it's pretty ageless, Ira. It's a good listen all week long. But I'm going to throw one out here, and we're going to get into more of these. But, Lee, I got to ask you, when you look at the Bucs offense, who is the guy, who is the player, you can't say Dave Canales, who's the player that is going to surprise a lot of fans this year over the course of the season that maybe people aren't talking about, or they're thinking he's going to do X, but you're saying he's going to do 20-25% better than a lot of fans think?
Ooh, I'll say Godwin. I think people were, you know, even though Godwin had a bunch of catches last year, I think we can all agree he didn't look 100%. And everybody's focusing on Mike Evans, both positively, the way he looked in training camp, and negatively, the contract drama. But I wrote this a couple times, and I know I've put this on Twitter a couple times. Mike Evans, it looks fantastic. When I see Chris Godwin, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what knee? And he looks like the old Chris Godwin. I'll go ahead and say Chris Godwin.
Sage, you got somebody you want to throw out there?
I might as well aim high, but I'll go with Baker Mayfield. I don't think his career's done. I think this is not a bad situation for Mayfield. I think he's got better receivers than he had in Cleveland when they went to the playoffs in 2020. Now, the Bucs don't have Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt, proven running backs. Proven. Mayfield, in his limited time in the preseason, was very sharp. His last week or two of training camp, sharp. And I think the sense of urgency, he knows this is his last chance. Please mention that. He's right. And I'm not counting Mayfield out. To me, age is not a factor. He's got experience. He's been battered for 2 years through injuries and bouncing from team to team. He knows what's at stake. I think Mayfield's going to play well.
All right, Sage, I'm going to throw out a name. Lee, brace yourself. Brace yourself, Lee. I'm going to throw out a name here. I think that Chase Edmonds is going to get a ton of opportunities because of the way this team is. Rondé Barber on the preseason broadcast just adamantly said he's the 1A running back and that they like him and all that. And he's going to get his chances. And I went back and looked at him in Arizona on the NFL Game Pass. And, you know, the guy averaged like 4.9 yards a carry over two seasons, 20 and 21. Over 1,000 yards total in those two seasons and just looked really, really good. I understand why he got a good free agent deal last year. I don't know what happened last year, but if we're going to bank on Mayfield reviving himself, Edmonds is really only 1 year away from being a good player, and I think the chances that he'll get will help him, and he's just quicker than anybody we have, and if the O-line is halfway decent, I think he might put up some numbers of what he did previously, which is, hey, a guy who can just give a lot more juice as a backup running back than we've seen in a long time, certainly more than Keyshawn Vaughn, and he can catch the ball.
Steve, that's not a crazy pick. You know, suppose he gets 7 or 8 carries and maybe a couple of receptions, 10 touches a game. He could be a little bit of a difference maker. You're right. He's not that far removed, Lee, from a little bit of success. He's not a guy that's going to carry the ball 22 times, and, the Bucs don't want him to. But as a spot player, Lee, it wouldn't be shocking. And, Lee, I hope you're sitting down, Lee. I sure hope you're not driving. Lee, Chase Edmonds could remind us of Charles Sims when Sims had a good season. And take it easy, Lee. Take it easy. Take it easy.
I would hope this team has higher goals than that.
Hey, Steve, didn't Sims average a 4.9 that year? I think he did.
He had one dream season, Ira, one dream season. 1,000 yards from scrimmage. Yeah, big numbers. John Gruden was obsessed with him. Yeah, it was one of those things. And at least Edmonds did it twice, whereas Sims just did it once. But yeah, we're throwing things out there. Lee's gonna throw tomatoes at us.
Is that for the Bucks' typical 6-10 seasons in the?
And Sims was the number two back, and Doug Martin had a big season. And Sims was a very good option catching balls. You know, Edmonds got a little talent. Let's see if they can bring him. I think he's clearly ahead of Sneak Vaughn, Lee, on the depth chart, to me.
I guess, but what are we talking about? I mean, good grief.
I know.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I think he's going to get a lot of touches, and sometimes, you know, these guys do a little bit better when they get more of an opportunity. Dave Canales had some interesting chatter about that. I think it was to Lee's question when he was talking about breaking tackles, and he said, hey, if a guy gets 15 carries, 7 carries to one side, he starts to measure the hits that are coming, and he can break them a little better, and a rhythm to the running game helps these guys get more yak. I don't know if I bought it all, but it sure sounded really, really good. And
sort of sounded logical, because he was also saying you could develop a plan to counter whatever they're doing that's working against getting yak.
Right.
Yeah.
You surprised me, Steve. I thought you were going to come up with a Payne Durham choice, and that would have been hysterical.
No Payne Durham. Hopefully, but not yet. Yeah. The thing with Canales, Lee, I agreed with him, except I started thinking, well, you know what? The more the defensive players are approaching tackling a guy, the more they adjust as well. So it sort of goes both ways. But Sage, we're going to get out of here, but I have one final question for you. And it's, hey, the offensive coordinator spoke today, Monday. We just hinted at a couple of things he said, but he did talk for 10 minutes. He has a lot to say. Ira, was there something, or Lee, something that really stood out from Canales that either gave you some confidence or was interesting to you, or, you know, insight that you've got to provide?
The insight that I got, and maybe I'm just, you know, a dweeb here, he talked about how you develop plays in training camp. You use them in a preseason game, but they're not necessarily the play you're going to see in a regular season game. He called it wrinkles. But I thought it was interesting that he said you had to sell the veteran players. They have to feel good about it, because the young players, they'll buy anything. He said, but yes, the veterans, you got to sell it to them. And I thought that was very interesting, that, you know, veteran players, they've seen a lot already, and they're like, okay, prove to me that I should be listening to you.
Steve, another wrinkle from Canales today. He made it a point to say that the Bucks didn't show their total hand in the preseason, just like most teams, or all teams. They don't. They try some things, they give you a little bit of a taste, but they save the good stuff for the regular season. And Steve, I can't help but going back to what Mike Evans told me when I got him cornered all alone a few weeks ago, and asked him about Canales and this offense. And Steve, he couldn't wait to add that he feels invigorated in terms of running routes that, quote, I've never run before in 9 years in the NFL. It's time to unveil that, Steve. It's time to unveil a little innovation in Minneapolis, right in front of the Kemper on Sunday. And that's one of the things I'm going to be looking for. How imaginative, because that was, a very, very common criticism of Leftwich, one of many, a total lack of imagination on offense. Oh, we want to see some innovative stuff on Sunday, Steve.
By the way, Ira, you see what Notre Dame's done the last couple weeks on offense? Granted, they played a couple of nobodies, but you see what they're doing?
Kicking ass.
Oh, my gosh. If there's two teams out there that are thanking their lucky stars they didn't call Byron Leftwich, one is the Jaguars, who, if you believe it, you know, it came down between Leftwich and Peterson, allegedly, and the other is Notre Dame. When Leftwich called up Notre Dame, he's asking Marcus Freeman, give me a job. And, my God, I just can't imagine where those teams would be if they would have followed through and hired Leftwich. Holy cow.
Well, we know where Ira will be Sunday. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater. Hang out with the Sage. Watch the Bucks against the Vikings. Real freaking football. Sage rolls in 11:45, 1 o'clock kickoff. Great time ahead. BigStormBrewery.com in Clearwater. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on every new vehicle purchase. And FloridasElitereStoration.com. Start your planning, your preparation for any sort of storm damage or property damage right there. Call them 24/7. It smelled like you had something to say. Ira, you have some final thing to say?
Yeah. Now, Steve, you're more into not necessarily gambling, but the intricacies of odds makers and things like that. You're on top of it more than I am. So, Steve, if I suggest to you that the fact that the line has gone from 7 on the Bucks-Viking game to about 6, Steve, to an outsider like me, a neophyte, that looks significant to get off the number 7 and to go to 6. Steve, isn't that a good sign in terms of Buck Nation?
Well, all I can say is I did watch the Vikings preseason games on the NFL Game Pass, so I understand why the line would have moved in the Bucks direction, but it is preseason. But the Vikings have a ton of question marks. And man, if the Buccaneers run defense can make a comeback like they're hoping it can, and thankfully everybody's healthy, not counting Kancey, but they certainly have more than enough talent there to stop the run and healthy talent. If Madison can't beat Dalvin Cook, I don't know what they're going to do to rack up the points that they need. Now, of course, the Bucs have to outscore them, but I get why a line would tighten up when it looks like the Vikings might struggle to score 20.
You know, one thing, Lee, I can say, I think with confidence, Cousins is going down. I don't mean, you know, he's not going to play well, but he's going to hit the ground a bunch of times, Lee. He's not mobile at all. Bowles knows exactly where he's going to be. The last time they saw Mr. Cousins was during the championship season. He was sacked 6 times. The Bucs won that game fairly handily. Cousins might throw for 350, Lee, but he's going to get sacked a bunch of times.
When I think of Kirk Cousins, it really triggers me because I just got a funny feeling, and I hope I'm dead wrong. I like the guy, super good guy, okay quarterback, not a great quarterback, sort of like Brad Johnson, sort of, but I just get the weird feeling that he's going to be the Bucs quarterback next year.
Wow.
I just get a weird feeling that he's going to be the Bucs. I don't know why I have that feeling, but he's going to be a free agent. And I don't think Minnesota's going to keep him. I think their ownership has run their course with the guy. They want to, you know, with all those quarterbacks coming out, there might be 5 first round quarterbacks. And I think they want to, you know, do what the Glazers want to do, draft a quarterback and develop him in the first round. And I just get a funny feeling that he might be the Bucs quarterback next year. Don't ask me why I have that weird feeling, but I just do.
I don't think the Glazers would sign off on that.
That's refreshing.
Steve, if they're looking for you know, a veteran quarterback, that means the season didn't go well, that they're dumping Mayfield, and they don't believe in Trask. And Steve, on his best day, as a stopgap, Kirk Cousins is not Tom Brady. No. I don't see it happening. I see if things go awry, I see the Bucs hitting that draft board hard.
Well, Ira, you always said that you predicted this, I think, 2 years ago, that Kyle Trask was not going to be the next quarterback of the Bucs because the Glazers got a taste of what it was finally like to have a franchise quarterback, and they want to go back to those days. You know, they're talk of the town, and you got this guy you can depend on. He's going to be around for 12, 15 years.
And, Steve, if you can get one in the draft, all the better because he's on a rookie contract.
Oh, sure. Really, yeah, helpful. I mean, I might agree with Lee, but Kirk Cousins, he's old. I mean, he's 35 now, and it would be hard to see that happening. But, I mean, who would have imagined a year ago that Baker Mayfield would be opening day Baker Mayfield with the Bucs? But, hey, it's an exciting time. Everybody's got hope. It's like you've said, Ira, I know you're very bullish on Sunday. The Bucs have a great chance to win. All right, Sage, we're out, and we'll talk to you soon.